No matter what you have read, no matter what you believe, the journey has begun. Seek the truth. Trailers to advertisements for the Da Vinci Code. No matter what you've read, no matter what you believe, the journey has begun. Seek the truth. Now, what is the Da Vinci Code? I've taken time since that movie is coming out in 2 weeks, and it really assails the major beliefs of the Christian faith. Like Paul, when he talked to the church at Corinth, said, "Brothers and sisters, I would not have you ignorant. I want to raise arguments to four issues that Dan Brown presents in his book that has been published into numerous languages, sold 40 million copies worldwide, and in 2 weeks will be released as a movie starring Tom Hanks and produced by Ron Howard and directed by Ron Howard." Now, Brown says that this is a novel based on facts. But they're mostly his facts, the way he sees things. The code is an incredibly imaginative creation of Dan Brown. But many are willing to believe his facts without verification. The church has always had to deal with this kind of problem and these types of challenges throughout history. Even in the early church, we have this. Now, some denominations, I believe the Southern Baptists and others, are so threatened by this book that they're calling for a boycott of the movie as well. But I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us to be a witness to the community about the truth of Jesus Christ. For us to witness to people who are at least curious enough to be reading about things of the church related to Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the other day, Wednesday, I stopped in to get a bite to eat. I'd been in a meeting in Sanford all day long. It was one of those meetings that, you know, you just hope you survive the meeting. And I was tired, and I stopped at a restaurant. I took in one of my books, I believe this one, on the Da Vinci Code. Planned to go in and have a quiet meal, and just so happened to get a waitress who was really into the Da Vinci Code. Interestingly enough, she'd read a number of books countering Dan Brown's arguments. I found her incredibly knowledgeable about first, second, and third century writings that competed for a place in Scripture. A very knowledgeable young lady, and I was forced to do what I said in my newsletter, to witness a little bit. I was a little worried she wasn't going to take my order back to the kitchen. She got so wrapped up in this. And every time she came out, we got in a little bit of a dialogue. Every time she checked on my water or something, we had a little bit to say about the Da Vinci Code, about the Christian faith, about how scriptures came to be. And when she came to get my credit card to pay the bill, you know, I asked her a question because she had shown her openness and interest in things spiritual. I said, "Do you go to church anywhere?" She says, "No, I don't." She says, "You know, I'm kind of down on organized religion." I said, "Well, what's behind that for you?" She says, "Well, you know, I think too many people that go to church just sit there. They don't study. They accept things they're told. They don't investigate on their own. And they don't really know a whole lot about what they say they believe." And I said, "Sadly, I agree with you." I think she was a little surprised. In the conversation, I told her I was going to preach a sermon on the Da Vinci Code. She found that interesting. But what was fascinating, when she brought back my credit card, she said, "What's the name of your church and where is it located?" And I said, "Well, it's St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. We're on Hope Mills Road, one block off of Rayford Road, next to AutoZone." Might not remember the name of the church, but will probably remember AutoZone. She says, "Don't be surprised if you see me there one Sunday." Witnessing. because of the Da Vinci Code. You need to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, because Dan Brown is suggesting something that threatens the beliefs of the church. That's what Paul was warning Timothy about when he said, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Then a few verses later, he shares with young Timothy, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. And having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths." Much of what we have in Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code are myths, if not out-and-out distortions. The bestseller is a creative conspiracy theory, murder, mystery, adventure that challenges the very foundations of the Christian faith. Now, the novel begins centered around the murder of the curator of the Louvre Museum in Paris. And police bring in Harvard professor Robert Langdon as a police consultant who discovers clues relating to the art of Leonardo da Vinci. The curator died protecting the location of the legendary Holy Grail, and a code to the location of the Holy Grail. Now, the Holy Grail is not the goblet, which I think is interesting, we have in Holy Communion today. It's not the goblet at the Last Supper, as most of us believe in the search of the Holy Grail. The Holy Grail is Mary Magdalene, the mother of the royal bloodline of Jesus and all of his descendants to the present day. She supposedly fled to a Jewish community in France, and a secret organization known as the Priory of Sion has guarded that secret since the time of the Crusades. The conspiracy, according to the book, is that the Roman Catholic Church knew all about this and has covered it up and systematically persecuted, particularly, women in the life of the church. And Dan Brown on NBC told NBC's Matt Lauer that other than the fictional characters and the murder in the book, it is based on historical fact. In an ABC special, Brown challenges what we know and accept as history by saying, quote, "How historically accurate is history anyway?" Because history, he said, is written by the winners, not the losers. Now, that's like the white supremacists who want to believe that there really was no annihilation of 20 million Jews by Hitler and the Nazis in World War II. They just rewrite history to fit their own beliefs. Now, let's look at Brown's so-called facts, because there's four of them that threaten everything we believe. And we need to be informed about this, because people are going to be talking more and more about the Da Vinci Code. First of all, Jesus' relationship with Mary Magdalene produced heirs that live this day. Number two, women have always been the target of the church's persecution. Three, our Bible is the result of Emperor Constantine's desire to manipulate the canon for his purposes. And the church did not believe that Jesus was divine until there was a close vote, according to Brown, in 325 AD at the Council of Nicaea. What we know as true is what Brown calls conspiracy and cover-up. We need to ask some questions. The same question that Pilate asked when Jesus stood before him with the leaders of the Jewish people. He knew Jesus was innocent, and he asked the question in John 18:33, what is truth? We need to ask that question, especially about the Da Vinci Code. Because you see, each of Brown's premises has a hidden agenda. He's trying to accomplish something in modern times, and when you sell 40 million books, you might pull it off. When a movie is made that's probably going to be a blockbuster, you might get people to accept his facts instead of what really happened. If Jesus' relationship with Mary Magdalene produced heirs, then Jesus is no more than an extraordinary teacher, like all extraordinary teachers throughout history. He is not the Son of God. He is not the Christ. He is not the Messiah. He did not raise from the dead. He's just a man who had relationships with the woman and passed on his clever teachings. Now, that's according to Brown. The same basic message was in a movie that appeared a few years ago called The Last Temptation of Christ, saying much the same thing. Now, the hidden agenda, what is that for Brown? On page 308, Brown believes that physical union between a man and a woman is the way to gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, the knowledge of God. Strange, huh? But you see, if you discredit Jesus as the Son of God, you discredit the resurrection, you discredit the church, then you discredit the values of chastity and singleness, and discredit faithfulness to the marriage vows. The second point, if 5 million women throughout church history have been the target of the church's persecution and killed, hear that, 5 million women intentionally killed by the church, page 125, Jesus also, according to Brown, intended the church to be led by women. Page 308. Now, if this is true, then this undercuts much of what we believe about the openness to anyone of any sex, of any age, in the life of the church, that the gospel is for everyone. The hidden agenda behind this is that Brown knows that women are more readers than men, that women make up the majority of the church, and that the women numerically make up the majority of society. I mean, if you're going to sell a book, you need to keep those kind of things in mind. And he says on page 248 that Jesus was the first feminist. So he's really writing directed a lot towards women. He builds a foundation, actually, for pagan fertility religion, for goddess worship. And on 309, he said the early Christians practiced sex as a way to commune with God. And he asserts that the rock upon which the church is founded is not Peter. It's not the confession of Caesarea Philippi, but indeed it's Mary Magdalene, the true Holy Grail. Do you buy that? Number three, if our Bible was just a manipulation by Emperor Constantine when Christianity was accepted as an official religion of the Roman Empire, and he puts forth that idea on page 234, then every foundation we have in Scripture and the church are undermined, if that's all it was. But what's his hidden agenda? The hidden agenda is that the canon, C-A-N-O-N, that's the official Scripture that we believe in, It's the authorized scripture. There were many things written that somebody wanted to be included in scripture. But we accepted a canon, a group of writings that we were thought authentic and God-inspired, and others were excluded. If we accept that there was a political manipulation of the canon, of the scriptures as we know it, coming into being, then there is room, and the hidden agenda for Brown is that we accept the Gnostic Gospels, particularly the Gospel of Thomas. Have you heard of Gnosticism? Well, Gnosticism is one of the early heresies of the Christian church. We may have some references to it in John's second and third letters, though it's not specifically mentioned. But Gnosticism was a belief that the world is messed up and out of kilter, and that we were created by one of the lower gods in the pantheon of gods, and the top god, whether it was Zeus or somebody else, at the last minute before we were created, put a spark of the divine in each one of us. So Gnosticism doesn't need a god, really. Because we're all gods. The spark of the divine is in us. We don't need a Jesus who saves us from our sins because we are our own God. Boy, that fits a lot with pop psychology of the New Age movement, doesn't it? I mean, he has a way of drawing in audiences that already exist. Out in California, there are actually Gnostic Christian churches that do not accept the divinity of Jesus. There's no point in celebrating Holy Communion. It's meaningless. There's no point in baptism because it's all about us finding God our way because God is within each of us. 1945, they discovered some Gnostic God documents in Nag Hammadi, Egypt. And these have been translated. And right now, they're flying off the shelves. People are buying and reading about second and third century documents that most people in the church don't even know exist. And the Gospel of Thomas is one of the big ones. In the last 2 months, there have been two articles in the Fayetteville Observer about the newly found Gospel of Judas. Did you see that in the papers? Well, there are dozens of Gnostic writings, several Gnostic Gospels, the Gospel of Mary being one. These are writings that put forth this idea that God's within us. We don't need a higher God to worship in our world. A few years ago, there was a movie that came out called Stigmata, 2001. Patricia Arquette, who plays the star in the TV show Medium, starred in this movie. And it was another one of these Roman Catholic Church conspiracy theory movies of how they were trying to keep down the truth of the real gospel, the Gospel of Thomas, a Gnostic piece of literature. And Brown believes this is the true gospel. As a matter of fact, he believes that the Gnostic Christians were here first, and the people we believe in, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, the disciples, were a creation of the later church to carry forth the cover-up. That they really didn't exist. And everything we have in the New Testament was created to sell a political point of view. He's attacking the very foundations of what we believe. Does this hold up? Of course it doesn't. Scholarship tells us that Paul began writing probably around 48 AD to 60 AD, writing his letters. The Gospels were written between 50 and 70 A.D. Ignatius of Antioch in 107, Polycarp in 115, the Epistle of Barnabas in 120, and 2 Clement in 140 all recognize the canon, the basic books of the New Testament, as we have them today. Didn't wait till 325. Even a Gnostic gospel of truth, dated around 140, recognizes the canon, the official scripture of the early church. So Brown's position is preposterous, because that's 150 years before Constantine so-called manipulated the canon. What's his hidden agenda? The hidden agenda in the Da Vinci Code is that the church essentially hijacked Gnostic Jesus, the Jesus who just wants you to discover the God within you, and created all of these fictions that we call gospel and letters just to fool us and to cover up the truth that Jesus was no different from you and I. He had a relationship with the woman, and some of his heirs live today in France. Is that something you can believe? His hidden agenda came out in an ABC 2020 special when he said that he is on a mission to share a message with America to convert people to Gnostic Christianity. And when you write 40 million books and have a movie coming out, you've got people who are going to be believers. Of course, one of his points of view is nobody considered Jesus divine before 325 A.D. That's ridiculous. Paul wrote, as I said, in 48 to 60, he said that Jesus is the image of the invisible God in Colossians 1:15. Even Jesus allowed people to call him the Son of God. In Matthew 14:33, we have one of the examples. In the early church, we have statements from believers way before those times. Ignatius said God himself was manifested in human form, 105 A.D. Clement, it is fitting that you should think of Jesus Christ as God, 150. Justin Martyr, the Father of the universe has a son, and he is even God, 160. Irenaeus, he is God, for the name Emmanuel says he is God, 180 A.D. Tertullian, Christ our God is recognized, 200. Origen, no one should be offended that the Savior is also God, 225 A.D. Novation, he is not only man but God also, 235. So way before the Council of Nicaea, the church was already recognizing Jesus as the Son of God, that he was God himself, God who helped create this wonderful, wonderful universe. But the big deception is the documents that Brown presents as fact. Right inside the cover, he presents a fact. And the main premise of all of this rests on supposedly ancient documents that were discovered that had been protected by the secret society of the Priory of Sion, charged with guarding this secret because it was given to them by the Knights Templar, supposedly discovered in the ruins of Solomon's Temple around 1099 AD during the Crusades, and it was rediscovered in a little church behind the altar in the French Pyrenees. Interestingly enough, Brown got the basic premise of his book from a previous book called Holy Blood, Holy Grail, which was based on a hoax perpetrated by Pierre Plantard and a friend, Philippe Lachaise. Under oath in a court case, Plantard admitted that he created this whole hoax. In a letter that 60 Minutes aired April 30th, showed in the writing of Philippe Cherchez's own hand that he forged the documents to make the hoax more valid, and Brown says this is his fact. There have always been threats to the church. There have always been people who attacked its basic beliefs. And if we're too secure thinking it can't happen today, we could fool ourselves. But you shouldn't be uninformed. I want you to see the movie, but I want you to go informed. Calvin's going to make copies of our sermon today because of some of these references. We also have something for you that you can start picking up next Sunday, which is a DVD which really has the book of Acts available. So if you meet some people who are real interested in the Da Vinci Code, say, well, we've talked about that at church and we've looked at that. Here's something I want you to examine, because this is an early documented story of the early church, and a lot of these things you're talking about just don't appear there. And we'll probably have a CD inside of this case along with this DVD that you can take with you starting next Sunday. So the words of Paul are important, because how can we refute ridiculous issues that we find in the Da Vinci Code, sold as fact, sold as history, sold as documentation, if we don't know our own faith history? How can we talk intelligently with curious people about who Jesus really is, how our scriptures came to be a part of something we call holy, and talk about the divine mission of the church of Jesus Christ if we don't know the facts ourselves? When we encounter these people who've been reading ancient texts, they're more informed than most of us. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, and having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. Paul gives us the answer and the remedy in our scripture this morning. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture, what we believe contained in the Old and New Testaments, is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. If someone engages you in the next few weeks about the Da Vinci Code, are you going to come across as an intelligent, well-informed Christian? Or are you just going to look kind of stupid? Because they will have some historical facts to relate to. I hope you'll be ready if people engage you. I hope you care enough to know a little bit more about your faith, your background, how what we call Scripture came to be, because this is our faith, our heritage, and our hope for eternity. Let us defend it as people, knowledgeable people of faith. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we seem to think that all the big attacks of the church took place in the past, and yet right here in our own time and age, there's a man who has a mission to sell a different Jesus and a different gospel to America. And sadly, there are going to be a lot of people who are caught up in secular humanism and pop psychology and New Age thinking, whose moral values are based on whatever they want, who are going to want a new gospel and a new Jesus to say that whatever they want is okay. Help us not to sit back as if this doesn't concern us. There's so many people that can be lost because we don't know how to witness, because we don't even know the basics of our own faith, and certainly not our own history. So show us the way to be faithful witnesses in this world. For we ask your blessings upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.